The title of today's message is Your Next Shifts Your Vision. This is part three of a series. It's going to be the last part. We'll send out an email and let you guys know, or a text message and let you guys know what the next series will be. But this is talking about everyone knows deep down in here that God has something more for you. He's got something more. Now, the enemy will come and say, you're stuck. You're going to be in this season forever. You're never going to move forward. You're never going to make more money. You're never going to be healthy. Those relationships, these are called never lies. Never lies are lies that start with the word never, because those come from the enemy. Never, never, never. But deep down in here, you know that you are here, you've been put here for a purpose, and there is something more for you. And I want to describe, when you start stepping into that season, I want you to see these little things that start happening and you go, whoa, I think things are changing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The thing that happens, that not the only thing, but one of the things, is the way your vision is, the way you see people. When you start seeing people differently, you can go, whoa, I haven't always looked at people this way. Number two, the way you talk about people. You'll catch yourself. You go, wow, I haven't always talked about people this way. The way you talk to people. Now, here's the cool thing. You will notice that God is changing you. But the cool thing is, people will notice that God is doing something with you. It's not an arrogant thing, but you want someone to look at you and go, you're different. Don't you? Like, you're different. And so that's what happens. We're going to use the Apostle Paul in Onesimus as a case study. Now, Onesimus is not a name that mothers go, I'm going to name my kid Onesimus. But it is a fun name to say. So I'm going to say it three times so you can hear it in your head. And then I want you guys to say it two times, because it's just fun to say. Onesimus, Onesimus, Onesimus. You guys two times. One, two, three. It's fun to say, right? There's really no point. It's just a little moment of having fun. But we're going to talk, we're going to go to the book of Philemon. And Philemon is cool. If you've never finished a book in the Bible, you've never read an entire book of the Bible, go look for Philemon, because there's only one chapter and about 30 verses. You'll knock the whole thing out, and then you'll be like, look. Yeah. All right. So the book of Philemon is about a guy who has a servant. In some versions of the Bible, I can't remember which ones, they call him a servant. In some versions, it says a slave, but it doesn't mean a slave like what you and I would think of when we think of a slave. A slave in the Bible, it's a servant. And so Philemon had a servant named Onesimus. And Onesimus did something bad to Philemon. And most theologians believe he stole something. And then he ran away from Philemon. So he was a runaway slave. When he ran away, somehow or another, he met the Apostle Paul, which was a divine assignment, because the Apostle Paul just got arrested. He's sitting in prison because he was preaching about Jesus. But they meet. Paul leads him to the Lord, and Onesimus is like, okay, there's something I got to tell you. I used to serve this guy named Philemon, and the Apostle Paul goes, wait a minute, I know Philemon. He's a friend of mine. He goes, don't worry about it. I'm going to write a letter to Philemon. You go back. I believe in Philemon. He's going to do the right thing. Don't worry about it. Okay? So this is Paul seeing Onesimus differently. He's talking about him differently, and he's talking directly to him differently, and he's telling Philemon, I want you to see him differently. I want you to talk about him differently. I want you to talk to him differently. And Onesimus is backing up and he's going, wow, there's something different about you, Paul. There's something different about you, Philemon. This is what happens. People back up and they go, there's something different about you. Point number one, let's dive in. Philemon chapter 1, verse 10. Go to the next one. I skipped that. I appeal to you, he's writing a letter to Philemon, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child. Do you see how he's looking at him? To my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Paul is not looking at Onesimus as a runaway slave. God changed his vision. He used to be a person in Acts chapter 8, verse 2. He used to be a person that ravaged the church. But God changed the way he looks at people. So Paul did not look at Onesimus like a runaway slave. He looked at him like a spiritual son. But then, remember I said people look at you different? Onesimus looked back at Paul and didn't see a judge. He saw a spiritual father. As God shifts the way you see people, people see you differently. It's this shift where things begin to change by how you look at people. Sometimes we look at people and we judge them for their sin because their sin is just different from ours. You can never judge someone because they're struggling. Is it getting dark in here? My Lord. Maybe it's a sign. Just bear with me. I'm assuming you guys are going to figure all that out. Maybe somebody just fell asleep and hit the lights. But anyway, y'all figuring that out? All right, pretend like that didn't happen. Okay. There are two types of sins. Okay? And like I said, sometimes we can judge someone for having a different sin than us. There are two types of sins. The first kind are the sins of the flesh. Sins of the flesh are easily identified, but hard to justify. I'll unpack this in a minute. Sins of the heart are hard to identify, but easy to justify. What do I mean by that? Sins of the flesh, you can see them, you can notice them. For example, if a person is an adulterer, you can see that. It's very hard to justify that. Again, sins of the flesh are easy to identify, hard to justify. A person who steals, easy to identify, very hard to justify. A person who's a glutton, a person who is constantly talking down to people, full of profanity, easy to identify, hard to justify. But then there's the sins of the heart. It's hard to identify, but easy to justify. What do you mean hard to identify? You can't really see it because it's inside. You don't forgive a person. You hate a person. You're filled with anger, filled with bitterness. There's the lust. Nobody knows you're lusting. It's in there. But there's this jealousy. It's hard to identify, but it's easy to justify. Why are you so angry? Because he's a moron. Because he's a jerk. It's easy to justify. But here's the part that we've got to wrap our heads around. You're familiar with this truth, whether you realize it or not. It's in James chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, "For the person who keeps the entire law," they do everything right, but except one law they don't keep, "that person is as guilty as the person who only keeps one law but breaks the rest." So that being said, regardless of what sin you're struggling with, it is just as bad as the one that you're looking at and you're saying, "I'm looking at you, I see you, I can't believe you're doing this." When God begins to take you into a new season, you look at people differently and you don't condemn them for what's wrong. Now, there's a guy by the name of Billy Graham. Wave at me if you know who he is. Okay, this is scary to me because there's only about 60% of you waved at me, which tells me that we're getting old. But let me just say this. Billy Graham has preached to more people face-to-face in person than anyone in the history of mankind. While he was in Seoul, Korea, he preached to 1 million people. Now, he said what I'm saying much better than how I just said it. And so I'm going to let you guys see it and hear him. He was on the Johnny Carson show. Wave your hand if you... Take a look at this.
Billy Graham, I like to count as a good friend. He certainly needs no laborious introduction. For the past, I guess, almost 2 decades, he has brought guidance and comfort to many, many millions of people of all faiths. Would you welcome, please, evangelist, author, educator, Dr. Billy Graham.
Well, that was quite a monologue, and I appreciated one thing about it. You've been reading the Bible, I see.
Occasionally.
You knew about the commandments.
Yes, I know. You know, I would sound awful, but if you ask me to name all 10 of them right now, and this probably sounds terrible, I would probably leave one out somewhere.
Oh, I think you could think of all of them.
Yeah.
Because all of us have broken all of them. So I think we could figure them out.
Do you think everybody?
Everybody has broken every commandment, yes, sir. The Bible says if we break in one point, we're guilty of all.
Oh, I see.
And then when Jesus came after Moses, he explained that the Ten Commandments can be broken in your heart by thought and intent. So in that sense, we're all guilty, and that's the reason the Bible says that everybody's a sinner. Even Ed is a sinner.
Well, that's...
comes as quite a surprise.
They could add, if there had been room on the tablets, they'd have put four more commandments on for him.
Some people just say things better than you can, but the principle's the same. There's sins of the flesh, and there's sins of the heart, there's the intent. But it's all the same. And when God begins to do something in you, you just look at people differently. You don't condemn them. You know, here's something that we should keep in mind, and I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Every person you look at is fighting a battle we know nothing about. Every person you look at, they are stressed out. They are overwhelmed with something we know nothing about. And when you begin to look at them that way, you know that God's doing something in you. And what's even amazing, because it's so rare, people will look at you differently. You look at them, they look at you differently. Point number two, not only does God begin to change the way you see people, but it's also the way you talk about people. Look how Paul is talking about Onesimus to Philemon in verse 18. Take a look at this. If he has wronged you in any way, he's writing Philemon about Onesimus. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I want you to forgive this guy. I want you to embrace this guy. When Paul looked at Philemon, he did not see a runaway slave, as I said earlier. Onesimus did not see him as a judge. They saw each other as divine connections, a spiritual father, a spiritual son. But now, he's defending him behind his back. Hear me say this. If the person you are talking about is not in the room, make sure your words are a shield and not stabbing them. Make sure of that. I remember when I was 6 or 7 years old, I was taking spelling tests and I could not pass a spelling test And for whatever reason, there's this one particular word I could not spell. And I look back on it and I'm like, I can't believe that word gave me so much trouble, but it was the word brown. I could not figure out how the owl would be there. Now you're like, Frankie, if you know your letters, ow, O-W, ow. Brown, B-R-O-W. I don't know what it was. But I'm failing week after week after week. I'm failing. And my mom was working with me the best she could. I can remember sitting in our kitchen. I can see the table in my head. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you see your dinner table in your head when you're grown up? We didn't have a lot of money. We had a family of five, but our dinner table was only like this big. We all had to squeeze in there. We could make our dinner table by just taking four legs and screwing it on the bottom. And napkin had to be underneath one leg. Have you ever been there? Okay. Because it would wobble. And I would sit there and I would write. And I'd come home every single Friday. That was spelling test day. And I'd have my mom my spelling words. And there was always like this red F. And finally, one day, I didn't know my mom did this till years later. She goes to the teacher and she says, "Don't you ever put an F on my son's paper again. You can put an F in that grade book all you want to, but don't put it on that paper because you're demoralizing my son. He's doing the best he can. He's just not catching it." And so the next Friday, I came home. And I'm like, I got a D. My mom went behind my back. She fought for me. And wouldn't you know, this is another sermon for another day. Well, maybe it fits into this sermon. But I started doing better in my spelling test. I got real D's. When you fight for someone behind their back, you're giving them some grace to rise. You're giving them some grace. You're not talking about them or treating them where they're at. You're talking about them and treating them by where you know they're going, and they will rise to your level of expectation. How many of us, you've had people like, you're this and you're that and you're this, and if you find out, you stay there. Are you with me? Say yes. Let me go to the next one. So what have we talked about so far? When you feel God shifting you and changing you, you see people differently. You talk about people differently behind their back. If you ever talk to somebody and they're ripping someone behind their back, you know straight away, man, God's not doing in you what you hope he's doing in you, because you wouldn't be talking like that. In Luke 6:15, it says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you will notice, man, I look at people differently. I talk differently about behind their back. I'll give one more sub-point to this point. I have a friend of mine who used to work at a church, and something happened. I still don't know to this day what happened. He was a pastor on the staff. Something happened, and all of a sudden, people started leaving the church. He left the church. All these things started happening. And I was talking to him, and I said, what happened? And he said this. He goes, I'm not going to talk about a person if they're not here to share their side of the story. It's been 10 years. I still don't know what happened. Because there's this level of integrity with my friend, and he will not break it unless that person is there to share their side of the story. I'm not giving my side of the story. And when you talk to a person who talks like that, you know, I'm talking to a godly person right now. Are you with me? Say yes. Point number three, how you talk to that person. All of us know what it feels like to have someone look at you and say, I believe in you. Are you with me? Say yes. Gosh, that feels so good. This is how Paul said it to Philemon in verse 11. He says this, Onesimus hasn't been much use to you in the past. I'll get to that. But now he is very useful to both of us. A woman of God, a man of God, remembers we need to talk to people about what we know God is forming in them, not the past that is fading. You talk about the future. You talk about what God's doing, not what's fading. There has to be something in our language. In every single one of you have people in your life that look to you for advice. Every one of us has a circle of people that we influence. And when they see us talking about people, looking at people, talking to them, they know something's different about you. And what Paul would do is he would tell Onesimus, this is where you're going. This is who you're going to be. Onesimus ended up being over churches, not a church. I get the privilege of leading Celebration. He was over multiple churches. He looked at him and he said, you're not going to be where you are very long. Just get through it. And let me just say this to everyone in the room. If you are stuck, if you are grinding, if you are overwhelmed, if you are not going to be there long. You say, well, I have been there long. I'm telling you, every season has an expiration date on it. Just keep hanging on. I call it the white knuckle anointing. You just hang on and just grit your teeth. I'm telling you, this room is full of people with testimonies. I went through a test. Now I have a testimony. I almost died in that season, but I made it. If you're in that season, just remember, you've been through this before. Let's, you and me, when we go through a season that feels like we're walking through hell, let's remember we've been here before. This isn't the first time you have been in a season that's almost broke you. This isn't the first time. If you're older than 12, you've been here before. And you can give people advice. Watch out, there's a pothole right there. Are you with me? It's important that somebody comes along next to you and speaks. You're not going to be here forever. And when you do that, when you catch yourself telling somebody Hey, you're not going to be here forever. You have to know God is shifting you. People don't know when they're growing. You can't sense yourself getting stronger. You just turn around and realize that you've grown and you've gotten stronger. And when you look at people, you have to tell them you're growing. Let me illustrate this with a video. Check this out. If you don't hear me say anything else this morning, you're growing. You're stronger today than you've ever been in your life. You're better today, and you will continue to get better. You're stronger today, and you will continue to get stronger. And where you have been weak, you are better. You will continue to get better. What I'm doing right now is I am looking at you and I am talking to you. And when I talk to the Lord, I'm talking about you. Because of that, you value my voice. And I want you to know that when you do the same, people value your voice, and you will know that God is using you. Would you stand up on your feet? Let's give our Father a standing ovation. Come on. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down, if you would. I say this every week because I don't know who's in the room. If you're in this room and you just say, Frankie, I'm just telling you, if my heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, I am not ready to see the Lord. The Bible says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. If you have a loved one that's ever died, on their very last breath, they left their body, and before they could blink, they were present with Jesus. So when you take your last breath, you don't breathe in heaven, but just hear me out. Or let me say it this way. On your last blink, you open up your blink and you're looking at Jesus. If you say, I'm not ready to see him if that were to happen right now. You're the most important person in the room, and I'm nearly begging you, because this is so important, to come out of your seat, take the hand of a prayer partner and just say, I need to get my life right. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him in front of people, he'll be ashamed of you in front of the Father. And then for the rest of us in the room, Pastor Dwayne, if you could scoot everyone down for me. If you're just flat tired, you're just tired, I want you to come down and take the hand of someone. Let them pray with you. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that's where I'll be. The literal translation is, wherever two or three come together, I will be in the middle. When you're praying with a person, the Lord is in the middle. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready, but let's sing this next song through at least once or twice before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.